We are told to spur one another on and to fan into flame the gift of God within us. I have the fire of God within me this morning, and I believe that you do too.
Thank you.
And our task is to fan that into flame in one another and stir ourselves up and spur one another on into love and good works. If you have a Bible in your hand, please hold it up and repeat after me in faith. This is my Bible. I believe what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'll never be the same.
I'm about to receive
the incorruptible, indestructible,
ever-living seed of the Word of God.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Remain standing and we'll read together from Hebrews chapter 11. I felt a different leading than I had initially communicated to our program doers. So we're not going to be thinking so much about weddings and funerals directly as about heroes of the faith from Hebrews 11. And Romans chapter 4, verse 12 says that we are to be those who walk in the footsteps of the faith as our father Abraham. And that's what we're about today, to remind ourselves, stir ourselves up as to their faith, and to know that it's for us too, that we're to walk in the footsteps of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. This is faith chapter, celebrating the heroes of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Memorial Day weekend, a time of remembering. It's kind of ironic or something that I'm the one who's preaching, because out of the two adults in our home, I'm the one who's not prone to be very nostalgic or reminiscent at all. My husband on the internet found his old college alumni list over there in England and was, you know, trying to get in touch with some people and just thinking about what they're doing and remembering and looking back. And I listened to it and he was excited about it, and I thought, I would never do that. That would not interest me in the least. I tend to think I'm very now, which makes me a bad letter writer in general, because that was past and this is where I am now. But here we are nonetheless, Memorial Day, and the Bible has some things to say to us with regard to what we are to remember and what we are to forget. The Bible tells us, certainly, as you would know, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. To remember those who are in prison as though you were their fellow prisoner. To remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you and consider the outcome of their lives, which we're doing today. And God promises, hallelujah, to remember our sins no more. Hallelujah. And he says to us, or Paul says to us, I'm forgetting the former things, I press on to the prize, forgetting those things that I need to forget. That's also part of what we're to do. Beautiful demonstration of God's mercy, the thief on the cross. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus' mercy saying back to him, you'll be with me today in paradise. Remember, even the sinner on the cross, remember me. And Jesus did. David, the wonderful worshiper of the Lord, wrote in his Psalms, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. We're going to think this morning about the miracles of long ago, not so long ago, of now and ahead. Let's remember them to stir up our faith. Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. Exactly. It's exactly what we're up to today. Considering heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the first verse, gives some definitions of faith. The King James is the one that I first learned that said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The New International Version has changed it, or their version is being sure, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The Amplified adds a little something to it and says, faith is the title deed to what we hope for, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And so we remember those who've gone before us, those who have done it well, have done it right, and we are reminded of God's character and of their faith. Not to have some kind of idealized reminiscence about people who've gone before us, but to at least pull from their lives particular strengths and how their faith was shown in their lives. Not kidding ourselves that they were perfect. We wouldn't want to be only remembered if we were perfect either, but remembering those qualities in them that we can admire and say they were people of faith. I could see God's faith through them. Even in our own midst, in my brief time here in this region, from this congregation, some heroes of the faith have gone before us. Certainly Bramwell Tripp, we would see in him his devotion to the Word of God, his biblical knowledge, his life of integrity. Those things were evidence that he was a man of faith, that he was a hero to many, of faith. Hartwell Fleming, the way he would have such interest in all aspects of the core life, that's an evidence of faith. His pastor heart, his shepherding, qualities of faith, that he believed there was more than what the eye could see, that there's more to come, and invested his life as such. Clint Fleming also recently with the Lord, his humility of spirit, the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in his life, his commitment and steadfast dependability, qualities we see in him that were like God and that demonstrate faith, heroes of the faith. 11:2 of Hebrews says, faith is what the ancients were commended for. And these, even in recent days, were commended for that. In other words, and the writer to Hebrews says it again, faith pleases God. Do you know that the whole system of God's kingdom functions, operates by faith? It is a kingdom principle. And so the first hero of faith we look at, and the first one who's mentioned in the scripture, is God himself, the Ancient of Days. The ancients were commended for faith, and so certainly God is where it all began. Everything that God does by faith, everything that God does, he does by faith in his own word. In fact, all of us, do you realize all of us live by faith in something? Whether we live by faith in the promises of God or whether we're absolutely confident that what the local news and the newspaper tell us is going to come to pass or is all there is, whether it's what our emotions or our thoughts would speak to us, whether it's what our physical body is saying to us, all of us live by faith in something. Yeah. Belief in what is not seen. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, everything that was created in response to God's command. God created everything by faith, in his own words. That they'll accomplish what he said they would accomplish. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was his own words, and he only operates by faith. He has no unbelief in him. That's where it begins. Our next hero of the faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 is Abel. His sacrifice was more pleasing to God than Cain's. And that always was confusing to me. I could never understand why. Among other things, we get some insight here in Hebrews 11. It was pleasing to God because he offered it in faith. And the message, Eugene Peterson's version of the New Testament, says, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. Listen to this. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. The obvious application for us is in our tithes and offerings, at least, isn't it? How do we approach that in our giving of our substance? Do we give in faith, cheerfully, hilariously, or do we give in fear, reluctantly, with anxiety, I hope I can make ends meet. Abel's sacrifice was acceptable and pleasing to God because he gave it in faith. And so for us, listen to Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barn will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Remember, what made Abel's sacrifice pleasing to God, it was not so much what he brought, but what he believed in the bringing. And so for you and for me, as we bring our offerings to the Lord, it's not so much what the quantity as what we're believing as we bring, as we give it. And I would challenge you and myself, are we believing as we give to the Lord that he is true to his word, having faith that when he said that if we give to him from our first fruits, that he's going to provide for us in abundance? Believe that as we give, with no fear, no anxiety, but with joy. If we really believe that, that's how we give hilariously, isn't it? That's how we can be so joyful about it, because we really believe there's no risk here, because we have faith, we're confident. Yeah. How about manual labor for God? That's what Noah got credit for, using his hands, hammer and nails, for God, by faith. He built an ark by faith, he built it. Some say it had never even rained before, up until this point on the earth. There was no cloud in the sky, there was no visible reason why a large vessel the size of his ark was needed, but he built it by faith, believing that what God said was true. When God said there's going to be a flood, I'm going to send the rains, he believed it, and even though there was no evidence, no clue to that externally, he built it by faith. I asked you this morning, what do you have in your hands? What practical thing can you do by faith? Can you repair? Can you cook? Can you sew? Can you write? Can you clean? Do it in faith, based on something that's not seen, but that you believe. And remember, sometimes it might look a little ridiculous, but that's okay, because we're after God's approval, God's commendation. Doubtless, Noah's neighbors would have thought he had lost his mind, but God was pleased with what he did. It looked ridiculous to the eyes of flesh, to human beings. But we read there that by Noah's radical obedient faith, he saved his whole family. Is there something that the Spirit of God is prompting you to do by faith, and you're holding back because you're afraid of what people are going to think? Perhaps in direct response to your obedient faith, God's going to do an intervention in your family in a way that you had not even imagined. He is still the same. How about hitting the road by faith? Abraham was told to go out. He didn't know everything, where it would lead, but he knew the first step. Go. Pack up your stuff, bring the family, and go. And so he did. Hit the road by faith. Not for everyone, but that was for Abraham, and God is still doing that today. Isn't it better to venture out into the unknown in obedient faith than to always play it safe, to always be cautious, to always think we have to know every detail and wait till everything is clear? Where is the faith in that? Living by what we do not see. If we see everything, if we know all the details before we take a step, we are not living by faith, and that is not pleasing to God. But Abraham was pleasing to God because he stepped out, not knowing where he was going, but just obeying what he knew to do. I say to you this morning, what has God said to you that you know to do, but you've held back from fear because you're not sure where it will lead? Faith pleases God. Step out. If God has spoken it to you, take a risk of faith. I would rather fall on my face taking a risk of faith than never try, than play it safe, and never venture into this wonderful kingdom of God living.
That's right.
It is a lie, let me say, when we believe that if we sacrifice for God, that if we risk for God, that God is out to humiliate us and out to leave us destitute. That is a lie. If you think that your obedience to God is going to result in you ending up with less in any realm, you're believing a lie. When Jesus challenged the rich young ruler, remember that? He said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the rich young ruler shrunk back. That was too much, too scary, too risky. How would he live? How would he survive? He chickened out. But he misunderstood what Jesus was after. Jesus wasn't desiring to leave the rich young ruler destitute and in poverty and abandoned. Not at all. All that Jesus wants to take away from you or take away from me is our selfishness.
Right.
That's what he wants. That's what he was after for the rich young ruler too, and for us, that we'd get rid of our self-centered ways of living. He wants us to be free from the love of stuff, the love of stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his ways of doing and being, and all the stuff, all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about it. He wants us to be free from those things. I had never noticed until recently in Luke 18 this encounter between Jesus and the rich young ruler. It was immediately following that when the rich young ruler shrunk back, chickened out from giving it all away, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left houses or land or mother or father for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this life and in the age to come eternal life. If God is telling you to hit the road for him, to give something up for him, to sacrifice for him, something that you value, do it by faith, not in fear, not in dread. And watch, just watch. God, I think God loves this. A little challenge. Challenge God. I dare you to prove yourself, with all due respect, to prove yourself in my life. I'm operating in your system, Lord. This is the way you live, by faith. The just shall live by faith, and I'm trying here. Just challenge God on that. And he said, try me in this, the end of Malachi. Try me in this and see if I won't come through for you. That's a paraphrase, but it's true. Also in Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite ones, the Amplified, I think, does a better job of it than the New International, although there's a footnote to this effect. In verse 11, our physical bodies changed and strengthened by faith, but isn't the spirit realm separate? There's my spiritual life, and then there's the world of the physical. My body is something separate. I'm spiritually sound with God, but my body, God's not interested in that. Sometimes our thinking. Here we have Hebrews 11:11 in Amplified says, Sarah, because of faith, received physical power in her body by faith to conceive a child, even though she was long past the age for it, because she considered God who had given her the promise. Check this out. Imagine this. She considered God who had given her the promise to be true to his word. Do you think that's pleasing to God? John says, lie not against the truth. When we speak of fear and we're living in fear and anxiety and lack of trust, lack of belief, we're lying against God. When he says the truth, he means the truth. And to live in fear is really calling him a liar. God have mercy. I ask you this morning, what does God want to do in your physical body? What? Believe that he does want to do something. Believe his promises. Believe that his word is true. Listen, how easily we believe this in the negative. We don't consider someone a fanatic at all who says, I buried myself sick. Right? That sounds normal. But worries are not real. They're imagined. They're investing in fear. They don't exist yet. They're not manifest yet. They're just putting our faith in something bad, in something dreadful, and we can make ourselves ill. Oh, I always get the flu. Oh, this time of year, I always get allergies. They're not there yet. We're believing in the invisible. We're living by faith in something. Why is it so far-fetched for us to think that we can't speak and believe our bodies well? It's available to us. Sarah received physical power to conceive a child, and she was as good as dead. Her womb was. Many times, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. People's physical bodies, your faith has made you well. Be it unto you according to your faith, as you have believed. Proverbs 4, listen to this. My son, listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. In other words, the words of God, if we meditate on them and keep them right here before our eyes and in our hearts, they overflow, they affect our bodies. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 15, good news gives health to the bones. What is the gospel? What's another way to say gospel? Good news. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel, gives health to the bones. Proverbs 15:30. Here's some good news. The word of God, when mixed with your faith, can powerfully impact your physical body. It worked for Sarah, and it can work for you and for me. Do your bones need some fixing? Do they need some help? Mix the good news with faith and believe God. Venture out. I'm preaching to myself here. Funeral plans by faith. What a ridiculous thought. Joseph, this is actually was not in the text we read, but a few verses later in verse 22 of Hebrews 11. Joseph, you remember, the favored son of Jacob, the coat of many colors, sold into slavery, Egypt, famine, family comes back into Egypt. And so there's what we would come to know as Israel. It's just really Joseph's extended family at that point, they're all living in Egypt because there's famine everywhere else. And Joseph is on his deathbed. He's about to die. And they're living in Egypt. And he says, you're going to bury my body here in Egypt because this is where we live. But God has promised. Joseph had the eyes of faith. Joseph said, God has promised we're going to have a land of our own, the promised land. When you get it, when you come into what God has promised, come back here, dig up my bones and bury them in the promised land.
On his deathbed, Joseph died by faith. He was buried by faith. He had, what the Amplified says, the title deed. Even though they didn't own the promised land, they hadn't entered into it yet, by faith, Joseph had the title deed to what he hoped for. He was confident, come back and get me when you come into it. Buried by faith. And so many people that we remember this weekend have gone to their graves in faith and been buried by faith, which is no small thing, is it, to make it to the end with faith. My grandmother, Grammy White, lived to be 94 years old, godly woman. My mother, Millicent Neal White, only lived to be 45 years old, godly woman. My mother died 20 years earlier than my grandmother. And so at my grandmother's funeral, it was pointed out to me that she was being buried, my grandmother, right next to my mother, which was news to me. And I was told this was happening because my aunt burst forth with great faith. They said, oh, yeah, Jan, Grammy always wanted to be buried right next to your mother, right next to Millicent. Because on Resurrection Day, when the trumpets sound and the graves are torn open and the dead in Christ will rise and those who are raised incorruptible, Grammy wanted to be raised with your mother, with her daughter-in-law. And on the one hand, that was very believable. That matched who I had known my grandmother to be. She was a woman of faith and of prayer. On the other hand, it took it to a new level for me. I thought, she believed this stuff so much. She had such faith. But she actually wanted to be buried there, getting ready for that great getting up morning, as the Negro spiritual says. She believed this stuff, and that really inspired me. The just shall live by faith, and the just shall also die by faith, from beginning to end. Heroes of the faith, all of these and so many more, and you have people in your heart today, I would imagine, who are your heroes of faith, and you look to them for inspiration. But as Colonel A. prayed, it didn't end with them. It's for us today, isn't it? Our human spirit, your human spirit, hear me now, your human spirit has the ability to receive through faith impressions from God that are born from the Word of God and are made alive by the Holy Spirit. We know that we know. Have you ever had this? I hope that you have. Times that you just know that you know that you know that something is true, and something is blessed. It's not, I know that I'm going to get sick, or I know that something dreadful is going to happen. That's not from God. But you know that you know that you know that something that God has said in His Word, a promise He's quickened to your own heart, is true. And no matter what you see around you, you are convinced. The image of a bulldog comes to my mind, hanging tenaciously on to that promise, and no one can shake you off that promise. That is pleasing to God. Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York, describes when that church was just beginning, fledgling, was very small and weak and discouraging. His daughter was 2 years old, and he noticed one day that she had a lump under her eye. And he said he prayed for her, but he had no faith, only anxiety as he prayed. And so they scraped together enough money and took her to the doctor. And the doctor recommended surgery. And he said, I knew what the Bible said, but I was filled with doubt and fear. I needed a true living faith, not some rhetoric. He said, the next Sunday we were worshiping at the end of the service, and my heart was flooded with divine light. I was overcome with God's goodness and greatness. I saw, and in that setting, he says, when you see God so clearly, God's greatness, everything on earth seems minuscule. The promises seem great, they are, and the problems seem small, they are, relative to God. And he said, I had a vision of my daughter being prayed for. I saw her being healed. It was a real picture before the eyes of my heart. God birthed something in me. They prayed for her at the end of that service. And within 48 hours, the lump was gone and no medical intervention of any kind was needed. He asks the question, what would happen in our churches today if people came to each meeting with great faith and belief that God was about to do something wonderful? Imagine that. Yeah. I'd like to share with you a few promises that the Lord has quickened to my own heart. These are a handful that I know, that I know, that I know. And there are some that I know, you know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm still working. I'm definitely on a journey. But these are some the Lord has really given me that kind of clarity regarding. I share them with you by way of testimony, also to help stir you up. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a bedrock of my life.
Yeah.
The Lord has quickened my heart to that, given me understanding about that. That's progressive. But I know that it's through the truth, and this is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through Jesus, only through His word, that we can ever be free. And I believe that God is revealing the Spirit when he comes, leads us into all truth. And that is happening for me, and it's happening for you if you believe it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That is a bedrock, and that is certain. I am certain of it. 2 Timothy 1:7, familiar to many, I'm sure. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline. That's a promise. That's a promise. You're not going crazy, and neither am I. Because God has said, I've given you a sound mind. We don't have to be afraid. Fear is not from God. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. Hallelujah. This one, particularly for me, personally, as a mother comforts her children, so the Lord will comfort you, Jan. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm resisting putting my name in every one because it's not a print on page for me. These are the voice of God alive in my heart saying it to me personally. And he says them to you too. I will comfort you, Jan, as the mother comforts her children. Another one from Isaiah 51. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. And from Isaiah 54. All of your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. Hallelujah. I know that those promises are true. Jesus' expectations. You ever notice it's almost funny to read the way Jesus relates to his followers, and we have to always put ourselves in there and not stand in judgment. We never hear Jesus say, we never hear it recorded, Jesus marveled at how good looking they were. Jesus marveled at how very talented they were. Jesus marveled at their intellectual prowess. We never ever hear that. What do we hear? He marveled at their faith. He was astonished at their faith. And, you know, the hometown, he marveled at their lack of faith, at their unbelief. The language of Jesus is the language of faith. What triggers his heart is faith. When he sees it, that's what he marvels at. The Son of God could be brought to the point of astonishment by your faith and by mine? I think so. I think he could. And interestingly, the ones that he marveled at in the gospel were those outside of the chosen people of God. It was the Roman centurion and a Canaanite woman. It was to those two that Jesus said, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. That to me says, is God going to have to find someone outside the church who's going to marvel at whose faith he will marvel? May it be in us. May it be in us that Jesus would marvel at our faith and that he would not marvel. I would imagine he has, however, on me, at our unbelief. When you read through the Gospels and get a sense of what Jesus expected of his followers, he expected mountain-moving, demon-evicting, water-walking, fig tree-cursing, mighty miracle-working faith. He expected it of them. When Peter took a few steps on the water, which I would think would get extra credit, wouldn't you? When he began to sink, Jesus said, do a little faith. Keep walking. Why did you doubt? Jesus expected the water-walking faith from Peter. When they couldn't cast out the demon, they said, why? And Jesus, always speaking the truth in love, said, it's because you have so little faith. Let me say it again. What Jesus expects of his followers, and I want to be this kind of follower, he expects of us mountain-moving, demon-evicting, water-walking, fig tree cursing, mighty mountain moving faith. That's what he expects. Again, a question, searching question from Jim Cimbala. If Jesus is the same today as he was in the Bible we defend, why shouldn't we believe him to do great things among us and through us and touch people's lives in powerful ways through us as he did through first century apostles? Peter was no perfect saint. Thank God it's recorded like that, isn't it? So we know he, warts and all. And yet God chose to use him in a mighty way on the day of Pentecost and beyond. And God can do the same within us if we look to him with childlike faith. I believe you, Lord. Out on a limb with God. If it's going to happen among us, if it's going to happen in you and in me, we must receive what God has promised in faith. Hebrews 3 and 4 in those chapters there, it talks about God's people, the Israelites, they heard the word, they heard the promise, but they did not mix it with faith. And so they fell, they died in the wilderness. And you and I, God's people, faith in Christ for eternal life, but in the meantime, if we don't mix what we hear, the good news, with faith, our bodies can die in the wilderness. I want to share some other promises with you and ask you to actively mix what you hear with faith. Believe when you hear these promises that they are good for you. Remember, we got to resist idolatrous thinking. If we think it was only for somebody else other than Jesus, that's idolatry, because there is only one God, and then everyone else is a regular person. You and me, we got to receive this by faith. Please receive these. Mix them with faith as you hear them. If you want to say out loud, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Under your breath, whatever. Just to mix it with faith, however you need to. If you are here this morning and you are not sure about your eternal destiny, about what will happen when you die, I have some very good news for you this morning. Yes, yes. This is the promise of God from Romans 10:10. If you confess with your mouth, yes, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, yes, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
if you need to say it out loud this morning, Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth, not in your mind, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the best news you could ever hear, really. That's it. Receive that by faith this morning. If you're not sure what's going on, receive that. Take it for you. You have not disqualified yourself. Believe the promise, mix it with faith, and enter in. It's pleasing to God. Perhaps you are in Christ, but you are struggling with a sense of guilt and condemnation. Remember, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who's trying to make you condemned. Among others, one of the promises, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is a lie from the pit of hell, and the truth is that we are forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise. Mix it with faith and receive it for yourself. Perhaps you've been lied to that or you don't feel as though God loves you. Your feelings can lie to you too. Take every thought captive and make it submissive to Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Those thoughts, don't believe them. Forget that you don't feel loved, or I don't feel loved sometimes. What does the Word of God say? Isaiah 54:10. Listen to this. Though the mountains be removed and the hills be no more, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. That's the Word of God. That's the truth. That's what the promise says. Mountains come down, earthquakes, hills removed, however that would show itself. Circumstantial mountains removed and hills being shaken. Yet, God says, my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You are not alone. Jesus promises, if you're feeling anxious, Jesus promises, my peace I give you. My peace I leave you. It's not a peace like the world can give. They can't even dream of my kind of peace. Therefore, your part, do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let it. I've given you my peace. That's his promise. If you need healing, here's a word for you from Isaiah 53. The whole chapter is wonderful. Receive this for yourself as the living Word of God. Remember Sarah, her body, her physical body was impacted by faith in the Word that God, what he said was true. His promises were true. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. Receive that as God's word for you this morning. Anxious about finances, feeling choked out by the kind of worry about the care of money, remember, receive the promise with joy. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want, I shall not lack. That's the promise. Needing protection, Psalm 91, a great place to look to. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Don't argue with these now. I sense that we're arguing. I do it too. We're arguing with the promise. Yeah, but what about, don't argue. Just take it by faith. Yeah. Take it by faith. Some people fall in the wilderness. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and are saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And even later on in Hebrews, it says, not all those who believed actually possessed what they were believing for before they died. I read that, and that was a comfort to me, because honestly, there have been some things I've been believing for that it's too late. Some people have died. before I saw what I was believing for in their lives. But that verse, also from Hebrews 11, was comfort to me. I hope to die shouting, in our songbook, the Lord will provide. I'd rather have anyone, myself, anyone, die, and yet us believing, than give up my faith and be weakened through unbelief, wavering before God. And another word, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Yeah. Who else can restore time but God? Time gone by is gone. There's nothing anyone can do about it except God.
Thank you, Lord.
Somehow, God has promised, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Believe these promises. If God has spoken to you today, you know it. And again, don't argue with it. Just believe Him. Let's not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. No matter how dead your body may seem, no matter how dead your circumstance may seem, no matter how long you've been sticking with this, continue. Do not waver. Believe that He who promised is true to His word. We have stirred ourselves up. The word of God has stirred us up in faith. If God has spoken to your heart, this is an opportunity for you to do something, take some action that responds in faith. We're going to sing together. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, from chorus 80 in the back of the songbook. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. If you want to respond in some way to a word that God has spoken to you, that He has stirred up your faith, He's quickened something in you, this is a great moment, a great opportunity. We don't always feel so stirred up, or so the faith is not always so strong. But now is the time. I would encourage you, any promise of God that He's made alive to you, any word He's been speaking to your heart, and you're just receiving it by faith right now, to take some action. Whether you want to come here and kneel, you're welcome to do that, or to stand up right where you are. Again, it's not about us. It's about you and God, me and God. And you respond to Him by faith. This is no condemnation at all. In fact, I think it's the opposite. Again, because we're responding by faith, feel freedom just to stand as a gesture of faith, or to come and to seek God at the altar if you need to, asking God or receiving from God His promise. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. If you want that, I encourage you to stand as testimony. Lord, I'm receiving by faith what You have said, by faith on heaven's tableland. Let's sing. Lord, lift me up.